Prayer of illumination is when it is well with our soul. Please join me in prayer. Father God, as we come to Scripture and a teaching, reminded that the Holy Spirit makes all that possible. Otherwise, it's just words and people. So we pray the Holy Spirit not only would guide me, but all of us to hear just what you would like us to have, to separate that out. We ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is Psalm 24. And it's interesting how it's next to 23 and what it is. So hear God's word as I read from there. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded upon the seas and established upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, and you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. And we go to Corinthians. In the 3rd and 4th century, Emperor Constantine wanted to make Christianity the religion of the empire, because he knew, like a lot of places who have dictators, that you can control people if you can control their religion. That was only his only purpose. It's ironic. We have people today who say we want to have just a Christian nation. Scripture says that'll never happen. It's led by a sinful world. We'll have Christians and stuff of that, but you want a full-time, 100% follower of Christ? It's called heaven. In the meantime, like in the time of Rome, we Christians grew and grow. So what Constantine did, he wrote a very high text, an essay, almost like a book, said there are two cities, city of man, city of God. City of man is finite. It's where you and I live right now. It's where the cocoon and the exists in the city of man. It has an end and an entrance. If you're a Star Trek fan like me, you know, let's go into the unknown until we reach the end of space and what's on the other side. City of God is where peace and love and Lord abides. And the entrance is resurrection, the contact. How many of you have been following what's happening to the two astronauts up into space? I don't know about you, but aren't we in the same place in the city of man, waiting for someone to get us out of here, but our own different time? And that step is called resurrection, and it's the final step from the city of man to the city of God. So in Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 15 through 12. Let me read it to you. But it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. He's speaking about people who think you die and wait in the grave before you are into the kingdom of God. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. For each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he destroys all dominion, authority, and power. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And it goes on to say, if there's no rules, then eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we shall die. And as I looked at that text in terms of looking at how we get from the city of man to the city of God, it's kind of like doing research. See, if the heart of our faith, and the key word here is immediate resurrection, the cocoon's off, we fly, our spirits. Well, and if you're going to do research, there's four things you got to look at: who, what, why, and when. The who. All of the humans who live in the city of man. And I say it like that because I've met people who think they don't live in the city and they're better than that. And I've met people who think they're worse than that. But like I said in Confession of Sin time, we all have one thing in common. We're sinful human beings who are seeking God. The what is the city of God. You don't have to be here too long to realize this is a tough world. Let's get to someplace better. And across this globe, there are all kinds of religions trying to get someplace better. So the what is the city of God? We'd like to get over there, but not too soon. And the why. Why is resurrection the only way? If each of us have a soul, our true identity, the one that really needs TLC, how do we get out of here? You know, kind of like the one, when I've done this before, it's called blasphemy, I guess. You do know what the last words of Jesus were. Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life form here. That Jesus did all he could here. But it's resurrection. He demonstrated to us that it's possible. That is what his whole life was about, the resurrection. The when. Many times when I do services, I'll say, everybody has a birth certificate. Down the right-hand corner is an expiration date. But only the Lord knows it. Remember the doughboy you put in make cookies and stuff out of? You had to touch a finger to find out, is it done? You and I are in the oven, and we're baking. And God's trying to check when it's time. We don't know it, and everybody can tell us when the best time is. But from the time I held a baby in my arms that had died till I watched an elderly person die, it's always the same. Their spirit leaves and goes to a better place, no matter how you do it. So let's look at closer at these words here. In 15, he says, but he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Think if you had to earn your way to heaven. You know, sometimes it surprises me, because I grew up in a very strict kind of religion. Dennis Menace would never make it. Because if you want to get to heaven, Dennis, you got to be perfect. Well, I was a perfect, all right, but I won't tell you what I was perfect at. That when we look at resurrection, it also helps me understand why there's so many faiths. A lot of people say resurrection happens at the end of time. Some say, no, you come back. If I come back, I want to be our cat. He's spoiled rotten. You know, something like that. Or if not, maybe be a Labrador. I don't want to be another human. But in reality, we know that doesn't work that way. Resurrection reminds us that whatever this thing called death is, it's instantaneous. When I used to teach death and dying, most doctors and nurses in my classes, none of them were concerned about death. Do you know what everybody really worries about? Dying. How many of you want to just go to bed and wake up tomorrow in heaven? I don't want to go the hard way, but we don't get to pick how we go. But resurrection tells me whatever it is, it's now. It's immediate. In verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we're all people most to be pitied. Think about this. If we get to have a religion designed by human beings with all the laws and stuff, because remember, what did Jesus say 16 times? You want eternal life? Love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbors, you love yourself. But we said, well, most of your neighbors, we started that rule. Then someone said, but we got to do it and only men can lead. And then the Lord gave me all these daughters I have, and I've learned that that doesn't go that way. The concept that we have a religion that gets us to heaven is a sham. What gets us to heaven is a resurrected Christ Jesus. You know, you stop and think about it. When I was a military chaplain, and also I've been ordained in two denominations, and I've grew up in a different denomination. I'm more saved than some of you all. But, you know, the point of it is, wait a minute. Aren't we all fellows in the same boat, sinners looking to find God? We don't need those kind of religions to separate us. We need those kind of religions to say, love one another, come together. You know, I read constantly that churches and Christianity is dying in America. Hey, I know enough about military things to do. Satan just separated us. On the way down here, we passed like 6 churches. What would happen if it was just like in the Bible? The church at Inverness, and we all came together. Karen does pretty good with the concerts. I bet wonder what we could do as a church all together. Verse 26, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. How many of you younger said this? I could just die. I could just die if they find out. I could just die if I can't get the right shirt. You know, and that's up till I was 60. You know, and that kind of anguish. But see, death ends all anxiety. Have no anxiety about anything but put your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's pure resurrection. For to go into Christ is to be resurrected. You're just waiting for the cocoon to drop off. You're growing in your own spiritual world. Physical death is what we're concerned with, because spiritual death doesn't happen if you belong to Christ Jesus. You've got a ticket to ride. You've got a time to stand and say, gloriously, I'm on my way. Well, how'd you get here? I'm not going to tell you that. It wasn't fun. But I'll tell you, I'm glad to be here. And it's that kind of things. The problem is, we forget all about that in church. We design churches with programs to make people do nice things. Do you know why church have programs? The purpose? So we are equip the saints to make disciples of lost people. The problem is we forgot that last part. When I started doing consulting, I've discovered I had to change my wording. Instead of using evangelism, I had to switch to marketing. They said evangelism was passé. It's not the way it is. Because we know that they all have a common goal, to find God together. And that we're all sinners and we need each other. Let me tell you something. My age, you fall down. One of the great things is a friend say, can I give you a hand? If I am out there in a lost world and I don't know God, and one of you come by and put the hand out and say, can I help you up? You made a friend for life. A life of eternity. A person can then go to the city of God. He goes on in verse 32. If, again that if. See, Paul's challenging us. Don't be so religious and say, oh yeah, this is the way it is. He says, hey, you better know what it's based on. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus with no more than human hopes, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. How many of you think you just might escape this whole thing called dying? I'm going to live forever. You know, well, how do you know you're going to live forever? Because the Lord said only the good die young, and I've been so mean, I'm going to live forever. And we said, whoa, wait a minute. One of the greatest fears is to fear death as an enemy. Death is not an enemy. Death is an entrance of an unseen world. There's an old story you learn in seminary. There was a young boy playing, wanted to play football, had a helmet, and he lived with his dad alone. Mother had passed away. And he went out for the team, and all through high school, he never missed a practice. He did everything right, and his father came to every game and never missed it. And the boy never got in the game. He's off to college, and he went up to the coach, and said, I want to be on the team. And the coach gave him, said, okay, you can be on the team. Bought his dad a season pass. And every could hear him cheer every time, Saturday, the game, but the boy never got in. And it was a week before the playoff where his team was favored to play, and the coach come over and said, I have to let you some bad news. I just got news. Your dad passed away. You go take some time off. It came the time for the game, and here comes this young boy. He was a little bit late, and they were behind, the team was. And he walked over to the coach and says, please let me play. And the coach says, son, you're your senior year, you haven't played yet. And the game went on, and the team was getting just horribly beaten. Finally, he said, I might as well give this kid his farewell for college. I'll put him in. The boy played a game that made him the back of the week. He played like he was an All-American. He did everything right, and they won the game. After everybody left the locker room, the coach said, son, I got to know something. You never could play football like that. What happened? He says, coach, you never knew that my father was blind, did you? Now he's in heaven, he can see me. Do you realize that you and I are those, that boy, and our Father in heaven is watching us and saying to us, whether it be practice or the game, play hard. Because when you get to the final moment, when you step from the city of man to the city of God, you'll be ready. And I'll cheer for you all the way. When I hear things like that, I wonder, am I the blind one that can't see? Am I the blind one that doesn't realize the Father is in heaven cheering for me? And it gives me hope. See, the final thing about death is, one, God did raise Jesus from the dead, and like the chief, the thief on the cross, remember he said, you'll be with me this day. Not later on, not being a rabbit or bunny. You're going to be with me this day. Death, therefore, is a celebration. Dying is the pain. But death is the final frontier of what we're all about. Trying to see the face of God and belong with Him forever and ever. Death is not an enemy. I can't tell you how many say, why did God let him die? God lets us all die. It's not a punishment. It was your time. And it was a gift from God. He said, come in, my faithful servant. Well done. I got a place for you. And we stepped on the other side. Why is all this important? Being with Christ in the city of man gets us resurrected in the city of God. A simple religion. Don't make it complicated with any rules and any way around. Accept it as a gift of God that one day I'll be resurrected. And I kind of hope I don't know when. Let it be a surprise gift. But the reason I picked it today is I hear people say the church is falling. I know a lot of people out there over my lifetime. Do you know how much they would love to find out that there is hope in life, not from religion, but from God? That they too can find the peace that we have found with Christ. They too can look forward to death and stepping over in the full-time presence of God in the city of God. So it's worth a life we have to let other people know what we've discovered. It doesn't take a theology degree, a seminary. It just takes one survivor to another survivor. And that's what we are. We survive the city of man, and we step over to the city of God, and we say, praise the Lord, it is well with my soul. Amen.